Well, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God places a curse on the devil by stating that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. This symbolism is later realized when Jesus comes as our Messiah to die on the cross for our sins. Ever since the first sin was committed in the Garden of Eden, God had a plan to save those who place their trust in Him. As the pages of the Old Testament were written, we could see various messianic prophecies given to point the way to the time when God takes care of our salvation through the Messiah. However, there were times when life did not go the way it was supposed to go. The Jews went down the wrong path on numerous occasions, and God punished them as a result. After Joshua led the Jews into the promised land, they wanted to have a king just like the other nations instead of relying on God to lead them. Well, God gave them what they wanted, and eventually they fell apart. As the kingdom divided, the Assyrians captured the northern kingdom, and the Babylonians captured the southern kingdom. After the captivity was over, the Jews were allowed to go back into Jerusalem to rebuild the city. They began with the altar, rebuilt the temple, and after a few frustrating years of apathy, Nehemiah led the people in rebuilding the walls to complete the project and reclaim their identity as God's people. He reinstated the law of Moses, and it seemed like they were back on track. But unfortunately, this didn't last very long, because the people never dealt with the real issue, which was a heart that was prone to wander. Well, after Nehemiah led the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem, the Jews slipped into another time of apathy, where there were no significant accomplishments. And we know that as the 400 silent years between the Testaments. Did God forget about His people during this time? Did God lie about the covenant that He made with David that His throne would last forever? There was no king for the Jews because the office of the high priest became corrupt, and the leadership for the Jews became a mess because they had to deal with the controlling empires that conquered them. Eventually, a group revolted known as the Maccabees, and they fought the powers that be, but they ended up creating even more chaos rather than healing the nation. The family line of David, the king, had to retreat to the Sea of Galilee and build a city that we know today as Nazareth. The promise God made to David was looking like it no longer existed, and the Jews were losing hope. Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, there were plenty of false messiahs showing up to lead the people back to prominence, but they ended up fading away as quickly as they came. In the book of Exodus, we saw that the Jews were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years before God sent Moses to lead them out and set them free. Moses gave signs and wonders in order to prove that he was sent by God, and God performed miracles in the form of the plagues to show Pharaoh who was in charge. But now the Jews are suffering through another 400-year period, and it looks like there is no end in sight. Were the messianic prophecies false? Did God change His mind and decide not to preserve His people? Who will come and save the Jews from this hard life of persecution and unrest? Will there be an end to their identity crisis? While the people in Jerusalem searched for answers, God was moving among the people in the Galilee region. Jesus was performing miracles as signs and wonders that nobody had seen before to show that He was the true Messiah sent by God. The time had come for Jesus to announce his claim to the throne, and Jerusalem was a place where it was going to happen. However, the people had a different kind of kingdom in mind. And the celebration that we know as Palm Sunday became both the high point and began the week, which turned out to be the low point, into 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry here on earth. So let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19. Our text today is going to be Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Now, as the Passover was coming closer, Jesus made up his mind to travel to Jerusalem, even though the Sanhedrin had made up their mind to arrest him. The disciples were with him, and after performing miracles along the way, Jesus had many people following him to see what he was going to do next. Well, in today's text, we begin where Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. So again, we're going to read Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Verse 28, it says, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'Lord, the Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for announcing your claim to the throne on this day that we remember as Palm Sunday. And Lord, I thank you that we have the example of the people who had the wrong kingdom in mind, so that we can see that we need to make sure we understand who you really are. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the fact that this triumphal entry marks the beginning of a week that leads to our salvation. And Lord, I thank you for taking care of this yourself. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with us through this sermon. Soften up our hearts and open up our ears so we can receive you. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The triumphal entry was a public display of Jesus' claim to the throne. And this enraged the Sanhedrin. However, they couldn't do anything about it because the crowds were convinced that Jesus was their king. The miracles Jesus performed were both signs and wonders that proved his identity, and the people responded by following him. He presented signs from beyond our world and wonders beyond our imagination because he is God in the flesh, our Messiah who will reign forever as the King of all kings, and there was nothing the Sanhedrin could do about it. But unfortunately, the loyalty of the people was short-lived because 5 days later, their shouts of acclamation became cries of desperation to have their king crucified on the cross. The wonders that were performed did not last very long because the people turned away after the emotions of the moment faded away. So what is a wonder beyond our imagination? Well, first of all, it is an awesome experience, and it is a mixed blessing. But when wonders are left by themselves, they become an insufficient foundation. So let's talk about this awesome experience. See, there is a sense of awe at the supernatural power of God. In Acts 2:22, Peter was preaching a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and during this sermon, he mentioned that God proved who Jesus was by performing mighty works, wonders, and signs through him. In Acts 2:43, we see that God continued to perform miracles through the apostles in order to display his supernatural power. These displays of power must have been an awesome sight to see. We like to watch movies with special effects today, but God didn't need a stuntman. He didn't need computer graphics. See, God is the real deal. And there were times when God reminded his people of that fact. As a result, the people had a respectful fear for the supernatural presence. Anytime a miracle was performed, people knew that God was there. Remember that the New Testament was not written yet, and the Old Testament was not readily available like it is today. So the miracles confirmed that the apostles were sent by God, just like Jesus confirmed his identity by his miracles. These miracles created a curiosity that draws people in. See, those of us who have young kids, we know that afternoon naps do not always go the way they should. You know, there are many days when Will goes to lay down, but he never really gets to sleep. See, there's just too much excitement going on while the sun is in the sky, and he just doesn't want to miss out on life. There's this natural curiosity that drives little boys to miss nap time. And that kind of curiosity is in all of us. It kind of draws us in. Well, the people following Jesus was drawn in by their curiosity. Matthew 4:23-25 says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And the great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." In Luke 19, take a look at verse 37, it says, "As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." See, the people were rejoicing and praising God while Jesus rode into Jerusalem because of the mighty works. You see, wonders that are performed become a mixed blessing. Wonders can often create emotionalism. See, emotionalism is different from being emotional. People get emotional when their emotions get the best of them, and that's not always a bad thing. When something bad happens, crying is a natural response. When somebody hurts you, anger can build up inside you. If you are scared of something, fear can overwhelm you. And when you experience something good, the happiness can put a smile on your face. Emotions are not bad because God created these emotions. The problem is when those emotions turn into what is called emotionalism. When you base your faith on your emotions, the slightest change in your situation can cause you to fall off that narrow road that leads to heaven. And that is why it is best to base your faith on your knowledge instead of how you feel at the moment. When you base your faith on what God's word says, your life becomes stable and you are stronger as a result. Wonders are a mixed blessing because people have a short memory. After God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to receive instructions from the Lord. And while he was up there, the people made a golden calf to worship. Apparently, they forgot who God was. When the Assyrians captured the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom went right back to their worship of idols and angered God to the point where God sent the Babylonians to come in and capture them. Apparently, they forgot who God was. Well, today, we are suffering from some of the worst financial conditions since the Great Depression. Our kids are rebelling against anything and everything. Our government is a mess. People just don't want to take responsibility for anything anymore. Apparently, we have forgotten who God is too. John 12:16 says, His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. See, Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples, and they still did not understand why the crucifixion was part of God's plan. They were part of the parade when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on that donkey, but they had the wrong idea about what kind of king Jesus is. No matter how many times Jesus told them about God's plan for the Messiah, they just did not get it until after the resurrection. Sometimes people can be hard to deal with because they just don't pay attention. Now, I wonder how many times we have been guilty of not paying attention to God. Well, when used properly, wonders can lead you to God's word. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. See, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts because he wanted to present the story of Jesus for the Gentiles. The account he gave came from eyewitnesses and ministers of the word because he knew them to be trustworthy men sent from God. Luke responded to the apostles' preaching, became part of the church, and now he is writing scripture. He did not stop at just being amazed at what God has done. He put his faith into action by recording the events of Jesus and the early church. When we gather together in worship, there is a sense of awe and wonder that can develop, and that in itself is not a bad thing. I think we do need to allow ourselves to feel the joy and excitement of being part of the family of God. But when those feelings and emotions fade away, what kind of faith are we left with? Do we have that kind of faith that can help us make the changes we need to make so God can be in control of our lives? Instead of focusing on the fact that Jesus walked on water, we should remember that Jesus is the living water. Instead of being satisfied that Jesus gave us our daily bread, we need to remember that Jesus is the bread of life. Instead of recalling the blind man who has been given back his sight, we need to look to Jesus to guide us through our lives. Instead of tuning in for the times Jesus healed the deaf, we should listen to the Holy Spirit who can tell us what we need to correct. We need to move beyond the wonders of the miracle and establish a grounded faith. The people who saw Jesus enter Jerusalem on a donkey never went beyond the wonder of that day. So when the time came for their faith to be put to action after Jesus got arrested, most of them scattered. The shouts of Hosanna turned into cries of crucify him. The people did not have a good foundation because they never went beyond the wonder of the miracle. Instead of allowing Jesus to penetrate their lives with Scripture, they followed him because of the miracles he performed. Once the miracle stopped, they turned away because they were too weak to survive. See, the wonders of a miracle provide an insufficient foundation. We'll go ahead and read Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Says here in verse 41, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." They had no idea who was coming into Jerusalem on that donkey. See, wonders will not sustain you when you face times of trial. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because he knew that they were too weak to survive. He knew the hearts of the people, and they were not interested in building a relationship with God. They were following the footsteps of their fathers, and that led them to the same place of apathy for the stuff that really should have mattered to them. The Savior of the world was right there in front of their eyes, and they failed to see him because they could not go any deeper than the miracles Jesus performed. See, we cannot build a faith based on emotions, because emotions will change. In Orlando, Florida, Disney World was referred to as the happiest place on earth. The entire theme park is designed to inspire awe in the tourists so that they will keep coming back in order to recapture the moment. They build up a fantasy that will never come true because it was never designed to become reality. Well, when Jesus performed miracles on earth, he inspired awe in the people who were there. But the difference is that Jesus designed the miracles so the people would continue to build a relationship with God after the emotion of the moment faded away. You know, I've heard many excuses that people give for not believing in God anymore. And one constant excuse that I keep hearing is that I don't feel close to God anymore. They feel like God has left them. But when somebody gives that excuse, what really happened? Well, they never moved beyond the wonder of the moment because they were stuck in emotionalism instead of moving forward in their faith. When it comes to growing up in the Lord, we need to learn to submit to God, not to the wonders. In John chapter 6, we see the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It was a great miracle that showed the compassion of Jesus as he didn't want the people to go home hungry. However, the people wanted Jesus to do this again. So they followed him to the other side of the lake. When Jesus arrived there, he saw the people and began a discussion about him being the bread of life. The people realized that they were not going to get any food from him, so they started leaving. Well, Jesus turned to his 12 disciples and he asked them if they were going to leave too. And that's when Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Who talks like that today? We probably should, but we probably don't. We have nowhere else to go. God is the only true God. There is no other. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other. So where would we go? Jesus is the one who has the words of life. You see, Peter had a faith that went deeper than the wonder of the moment. And that's that kind of faith that we need to have too. So how deep does your faith go?